Amen.
Good, okay. It's always a privilege to preach and for Pastor to allow Brother Don and I to fill in. Please pray for him. He is actually, they just got done with services 30 minutes ago, depending on if he preached or how long he preached. That was the first time I don't know if he told you, and I'm going to tell him. I think that's the first time he's preached at our home church since pastoring. So it's a blessing for him. He said he was nervous, actually, and so I'm curious how it went. And it's very exciting to come home and preach and things like that. So like Brother Don said, keep praying for him. I think they're coming back tomorrow. It's about a 12-hour drive. Things can happen in 12 hours. So please pray for them. And he has 4 kids. And I'm beginning to understand what that means. So tomorrow I leave, and that'll be fun. So we'll see how that goes. If you can turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, just a thought about mothers. But we're not going to talk about Mother's Day in the sermon today, but tonight. But with Junior Church this morning, I was reading Proverbs 31, the verse that I read during offertory. And it was talking about a virtuous woman. And you look at the virtuous woman, it talks about a woman of high morality, high standards and things like that. And so I had the kids like name off some characteristics of what they thought that was, and they're hitting around it and they're doing a pretty good job. And now, and we kind of got to the point at the very end where it said that the virtuous woman is worth more than rubies. And so I tried to correlate with them that a mother is priceless, and there's nothing like a mom. I just want to let everyone know that there's nothing like my mom, and I hope that you can say that about your mom. There's nothing like your mom. You cannot put a price on what your mom does for you. I don't care who you are. You just can't. She does things behind your back that you just don't know. She prays for you. She comforts you. I can tell you so many stories of my mom dealing with me when I was sick, and she was sick at the same time. You know, puts her needs last and puts you first. Moms are amazing. I'm so glad we have a Mother's Day. Does anyone know the day that it was recognized, though, as a national holiday? I found this quite interesting. I thought it was actually earlier, but it was 1914. So I thought that was neat. 1914, that it was recognized as a national holiday. And then I began to think, are we the only nation that does that? And I found out like 40 some other countries do that. So it's pretty neat that other people and other nations recognize the importance of a mom. And so like Brother Shane said, we wouldn't be here without them. Legitimately, we really wouldn't be. Luke chapter 6, did I tell you guys that already? I don't know, I forget sometimes. Verse 46, I do want to tell you this, just to be an off-color cuff, whatever, funny. Today was such a great day, except for one thing for me. I have a really bad sore in my armpit. I found out that it's an ingrown hair, so please pray for my ingrown hair in my armpit. Anyways, just to let you all know. Verse 46. All right, composure. All right, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not, it is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the rock, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Tonight, I feel like the Lord wants us to know what the right kind of foundation is and how we can attain it. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this evening. We also thank you for the many people that you brought back tonight. Lord, how you've blessed this church. I pray now that you would clear our hearts and our minds of anything that could distract us from your word. And Lord, I pray that you help us to realize the firm foundation that we have in you. And Lord, I pray now that you would just convict hearts that only you can do. Lord, I pray that you would just take my shortcomings away, Lord, that I wouldn't be seen, but you would be seen through me. Lord, we thank you so much once again for your word. We ask all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Recently, this Leaning Tower of Pisa was finally reopened to the public. It was about 2 or 3 years ago. It says, after been having closed for almost a dozen years, during that time, engineers completed a $25 million renovation project designed to stabilize the tower. Now, if anybody doesn't know what the Leaning Tower of Pisa is, it's leaning and it's a tower, okay? It's in Italy. All right, there you go. They removed 110 tons of dirt and reduced its famous lean by about 16 inches. Why was this necessary? Because the tower had been tilting further and further away from vertical for hundreds of years. At that point, the top of the 185-foot tower was 17 feet further south than the bottom. 17 feet. Insane. And Italian authorities were concerned that if nothing was done, it would soon collapse. What was the problem? Was it bad design? Was it poor workmanship? An inferior grade of marble? Basically, no, the problem was the underneath. The sandy soil on which the city of Pisa was built was just not stable enough to support a monument of this size. The tower had no firm foundation. If you look in our text here, and I got to give you a little bit of background. This is Jesus. He's speaking, obviously, if you have a red letter Bible. Okay, it says that he's red letters means he's speaking. So he's speaking here, and he's telling us in verse 46, an introduction to these next three verses. Basically, he's calling out people, and he's saying, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why are you calling me master if you don't obey me? Why do you call me this, and Lord, Lord, and don't follow what I have for you? And then he goes on, all right, so this is what basically you are. He says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And he goes on in the next verse. He says, he is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that rock and could not shake it, for it is founded upon a rock. Now, the reason why he introduced it and said basically, why don't you... if you call me master, why don't you follow me? Why don't you listen to my commands? He was basically calling out the people that he was preaching to and saying to them that you were trying to do your own thing even though I've told you what to do. And because of that, you were laying down a foundation in your life that isn't the right kind of foundation. Actually, no foundation. So we're going to talk about two foundations tonight. We're going to talk about the foundation and no foundation. All right, there's only two types of things, two types of foundations. A foundation and no foundation. But this is how this all works out. And this kind of hit me, and I want to try to make it make sense because it hit me actually this afternoon, and so it's a little bit different than my notes. I know it's crazy. I'm going to try to tie this in. If you notice at the very beginning of verse 47, it says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. The right kind of foundation for you and me to have is to hear the word and do it. Hear the word and do it. James 1:22, we'll get there later on. That talks about that. That's our theme verse for the youth group. But the right kind of foundation all starts with people that hear God's word and actually do it. Do you know oftentimes in our lives, we hear God's word, we can sit here and listen to messages all we want, and we feel good about ourselves, but we leave sometimes out of this building unchanged. Or we don't apply what we've heard. So all we're doing is being hearers. So the right foundation starts with hearers and doers. Now, if you look in the verse 48, the person that hears and does the word, the one that hears the word and does the word, he's like this. All right. So I hope that we can be like this. This is two examples we're going to give. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Let's look at the first one, digged deep. When I think of digging deep, for some reason, I always think of like digging a well, because you got to dig deep to get to the water, right? And I always think of that, and then I always think of digging for putting in fence post holes or whatever. You got to dig deep to keep up the fence post. I don't know why that's I don't know how that correlates in my mind, but I always think of those two things. So this man, when he wants to have this firm foundation, he understands that he must apply the word. But in order to apply the word, he has to understand what the word says, right? We would have to understand what the word says. So how does that work out if it's telling us that we must dig deep? Joshua chapter 1 tells us that we must meditate on his word. Dig deep into it. When was the last time you had a word study? When was the last time that you actually took your Bible and went through some verses and references and really studied out the Word? Oftentimes, you know what we do? And I do, and I'm not saying that you do, you might, but I do. I oftentimes read the Bible, great, check it off, I read my Bible today. I had my time with God. Because this is how God speaks to me, through His Word. Oftentimes we do that. That's not really digging deep. We're not building upon that foundation that we're supposed to be building on. What we're doing is, there's a foundation's there, we listen to God's Word, and we're not doing it. That's really what that happens. Or what that is. So the man that realizes, in order to have this firm foundation that he must have, he realizes that he has to dig deep into God's Word and find out what God's Word has for him in his life. And then later on, after that, it tells us that when he finds out what's in his Word, he must plant that foundation upon the rock. Now, everybody knows who the rock is. It's not Peter, is it? It's Jesus. Jesus is the rock in the weary land. Sorry, I just thought about the song. Jesus is the rock. He is the rock in the times of trouble. He is the unshakable force that we can go to. The unmovable person that we can come to. And this rock is what we build our foundation. When I think about foundation, I preached this to the teens like about a month and a half ago. And I know that when I was younger, I'm still young, I guess, but when I was a teenager, I would try to build my life upon something other than what God wanted me to build on, which was His Word. And most of the time, it had to do with like school or sports or popularity of things like that. And I know that we're adults and we deal with other different things, but you know, oftentimes in our adult lives, we like to build our lives upon our careers. Because we know that we have to have money. We know that we have to survive. Oh, we know that we have to have food and these things and whatnot, but when it really comes down to it, those things will go away. And there's only going to be one thing that's left at the end of your life, which is the rock, Jesus Christ, and He's going to be the unshakable force in your life. And our careers, they'll go. We'll have retirements, but we won't always be working. We can't rely upon that money that we were receiving, but you know what we can rely upon? The rock. We can rely upon the rock. So our foundation must always be founded upon the rock. Without it, it's nothing. Without it, it's nothing. What's really neat about this rock, it does a lot of things. A rock is heavy. It keeps things stable. It can prop things up. It doesn't move. You kick it and it hurts your foot. You punch it, it hurts your hand. You try to headbutt it, it hurts your head. I'm just going over certain things. Nothing can penetrate the rock. That's what's awesome about the rock. Nothing can penetrate, can defeat Jesus Christ. And oftentimes, we try to build our foundation upon something else besides this rock. So this man here, he understood that he was supposed to dig deep in God's Word. When he did, he understood that he was supposed to build his foundation upon God's Word. This is the question, though. Why? Why did he realize that he must build his foundation on the rock? It says, and when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, could not shake it, for it's founded upon a rock. He knew that life happens. You guys know that life happens? You know what happens in your life? Almost everything. Crazy stuff. Brother Dennis is telling us he almost got hit by a truck. That's life. Crazy people driving across the median, going to sleep. You may deal with a drama in your family or maybe a loss of a job or whatever the case may be, but life happens. And this man knew that life would happen, that there's going to come time that there's a storm going to come. And you guys know all about storms. We all do. We live in the hurricane area. I've never been affected by a hurricane because I've never lived in a lived in that area. I've lived in Tornado Alley, as you call it. I've been affected by those. And you know what we do? We brace ourselves. here on the houses that we built. They have new things. Basically, they put screws in the houses so that we can board up the house. It's a new thing that all the houses are supposed to have or whatever, is what we found. Why? Because we have hurricanes. We brace for it. Our foundations are higher. There's hardly any basements here. Why? Because there's hurricanes. It floods. They prepare. We prepare for it. You know how we prepare for the storms of life? By relying upon the rock and building the foundation on the rock. This man understood that. But let's check out the opposite. Verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The foundation of the hearer and not doer does not exist. He builds his life on his own wisdom, his own strength, what he deems best, not upon the rock, not upon the word. Because we understand the rock is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the word, came and dwelt in flesh among us. So we must understand that this person is disregarding the word of God. How many of you, and how many times do I disregard God's word? Like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, they tried to build this great tower. I don't know what it was all about. I didn't do much research on it. I just like the whole point of the story of the Leaning Tower, of they're trying to fix it because it wasn't built on the right type of foundation. And you know what? When we don't build on the right type of foundation, our lives become a mess. They spent $20 million on this just to fix it. Why? Because it wasn't built on the right foundation. It wasn't built on the right foundation. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Tonight we're going to be quick. I'm almost done. It's been a great day. James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? Deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And then it goes on and gives us the example of the hearer and the doer. But here's this example. A person that hears God's word and does not listen to it is like this. And I gave the example 2 weeks ago, and I used Justin's awesome hairpiece that we used for 2 years ago in our Christmas skit. I put on the hairpiece, I messed up the hair, and I got a mirror out. And I acted like I woke up in the morning. Now, I don't know how many people do this. But I don't have to do this. I don't have hair anymore. I love it. All right, so exactly. It works out. But for people that have hair, ladies, you don't just wake up and look in the mirror and say, man, I look really good today. I'm going to go out in public. No. Some ladies go, whoo, and they walk away. Some ladies don't even look at the mirror because they know it's just, okay, I just need to fix this before I even look. I don't want to scare myself. But the example here in the scripture is like this, where we see our problem in the mirror. Whether we have a giant pimple on our face, or we got a pop, whether we have a blemish or something that we have to fix on our face or cover, whether we have to comb our hair or whatnot, we see the problem. But it's the Word of God gives it the example like this. People that don't hear or people that don't do the Word, they see the problem, they shrug their shoulders, meh, and they walk away. Could you imagine going out in public without combing your hair? Ladies. Guys, we do it more often than not, actually. But ladies. Could you imagine going out in public and combing your hair? Now, I didn't realize how much of a crisis this was until I got married. I really didn't. And I'm telling my wife, because this is for every woman. I mean, I believe this is for every woman. But we're like, okay, let's go. And I'm like, all right, let's go. I put on my flip-flops. I'm ready to go, all dressed. And she's like, well, I got to do my hair. Your hair looks fine. No, I did it this morning, but I got to do it again. 30 minutes later, I'm sitting on the couch playing on my phone. You ready? Yeah. Okay. 20 minutes later. You ready? Okay, we're ready. But, you know, the whole point of it is She understands that she has to look presentable. She doesn't feel right. Even if one hair is out, she doesn't feel right that she can go out in public like that. And this person that's being represented in Luke or Mark and then here in James is the person that does not listen or does not do the word of God that he listens to. I need to rephrase that, sorry. Does not do what the word of God tells him to do. He listens to it, but doesn't take the wisdom or adhere to what was given to him. And so it's just like if we went to the mirror, saw something messed up and said, meh, it's okay, and walked away. I couldn't imagine. I had really bad acne in high school. I mean, really bad. And I did not like going out with, you know, all the nasty blemishes. I got to the point, I'm telling myself, that I actually put on, like, I guess it's foundation or whatnot. Because it got so red. Yes, I know. Don't look at me like that. It got so red because I messed with it that I had to make sure that it kind of calmed down the redness. I didn't want to go out. I don't want to go out like that. I look ridiculous. I have a chipped tooth. I don't know if you guys notice it. But I try to actually cover it when I smile. I used to smile kind of like, hey. I try to smile a little bit more like that. Or why? Because I'm trying to cover my chipped tooth. I don't want it to be seen. The point of the matter is when we know we have a problem, we try to fix it, right? This man here that was given as an example by Jesus, he knew there were some problems and knew the right kind of foundation of where he should lay his life upon, but he did nothing to do anything about it. Or he didn't even adhere to what God said for him to do. And so he's like that man that looks at himself in the glass, the mirror, and says, I'm okay, and walks away. How many times as a Christian do we do that? We know the foundation is Jesus Christ. Our foundation is there, but oftentimes we sometimes get away from that foundation and then build a different type of foundation. One that we think is one, but there's nothing there to build it on. And so it's just earth is what the Word of God says. It's just earth. And we just build our lives upon it. And then all of a sudden, the storms of life come. Oh, we get really stressed about some financial problems, or we get really stressed about maybe some deaths in the family and things like that, which is very stressful in life and definitely hurtful. And we have nobody to rely upon because our foundation is weak and crumbling. Why? Because we're not doers of the word. We're just hearers of the word. Verse 25 in James chapter 1 says this, at the very end, the person that looks, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continue therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Blessed. So the man back in Mark here was blessed. Why? Because when the storms of life came, when he understood that life happened, not Mark, I keep saying Mark, Luke. I have another text in my head. And Luke, he understood that that life would happen, and so God blessed him and made sure that he was unshakable and unmovable. You know, many times the Word of God compares Christians to like a tree, the roots of a tree. And then the winds come and they try to topple us over, but our roots are dug deep into the ground by the word of God, and we're by the rivers of water, and we're, you know, getting refreshments. And then it talks all the time about a plant that's not really rooted, and when the winds come, it falls over. This reminds me of this. There's that root, that root system is not dug deep. So, you know what you have to do with a tree? A lot of times a new tree that you plant, a new planted tree, you typically have to put a stake out, tie it out, so when the wind comes, it stays straight. Why? Make sure that doesn't fall over. So, in our lives, in our Christian lives, we have to make sure we have that foundation on Jesus Christ. And you can find all that you need in the Word of God. I like what this hymn says. How firm a foundation. You know, you've heard it. Ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith, where? In His excellent Word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. The chorus sounds like this. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul shall all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. In every condition, in sickness and health, in poverty's veil or abounding in wealth, at home and abroad, on the land, on the sea, as thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen and help thee and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow, for I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Every down to old age all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary heads shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. How firm a foundation. It talks exactly at what Jesus Christ would do. Why? Because he is the firm foundation. So the real question comes this. Are you a hearer and a doer of God's word so that you can build your foundation, the right kind of foundation? That foundation only comes by hearing and doing the word of God. So are you actually doing what God says? Hey, you know what? It's hard. It's hard to treat each other with love all the time. It's hard to go through life and not respond fleshly. It's hard to live in the Spirit 24/7. But you know what? The Word of God tells us that we should. Are you having the right kind of foundation? Or do you even have a foundation? The example was a foundation or no foundation. I think too many of us think that we might have one, and when the storms of life come, all of a sudden, life gets a little bit shaky. Why? Check the foundation. Is it built upon Jesus Christ? Or is it built upon the earth? Where it could erode, be unstable, and all that fun stuff. If everyone could bow your head and close your eyes. I pray that the Lord use this tonight in someone's life.